Well, Brent, we're coming up on the halfway point of the 2024 Champ Off-Road season. Crandon, a couple of weeks ago, we took some time off. Man, I had to dry my socks out.
Yeah, Shane, what a crazy amount of rain that fell at Crandon International Off-Road Raceway. But hey, sometimes that's what we deal with.
Hey, we still got one round in, and I'll tell you what, brighter days are ahead. Let's get into this podcast.
Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL.
Welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL. I'm Brent Smith alongside Shane Stetsny. And Shane, man, what a season we've had so far, coming out of a rainy Crandon International Raceway to now we're looking at sunny skies and beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic this weekend for now round 6 and 7. See, now we got to learn how to count the rounds differently because we had to miss one. I remember laughing a little bit when we had our production meeting on Sunday, which turned out to be round 5. Someone asked the question to Carl. They said, so is this round 5 or is it round 6? Because round 6 was scheduled for Sunday. We all kind of looked at each other and Carl said, well, the last round we raced was 4, so this is 5. So that means coming up next, round 6. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it was crazy how everything went down. But hey, they made the safe choice of what they wanted to do. And the drivers, I think, agreed with it. And we had a beautiful second day of racing for round 5. And I think the track crew did an awesome job and turned out to be a great day of racing.
Yeah, I do want to go back to the actual decision that was made on Saturday to push racing off for the first day of the 2 days. I was kind of reflecting on that today, preparing for this podcast, and I was thinking about it. Obviously, I'm biased saying this because, you know, we're employees of Champ Off-Road, but it was a really nicely done series of events that led to the decision. They included the drivers in on it. They got driver feedback at every point along the way. First, there was a meeting with Pro 2s and Pro 4s figuring out how they wanted to deal with the extra round. They had an all-drivers meeting when they actually canceled the show and, you know, made the tough call. And like I said, I think it was almost like a masterclass in how to make a decision in the right way. And I remember being in that meeting with all the drivers when Jason Flannery from Crandon stood up and said, sorry, guys, we just cannot go today. And I looked around and it was almost completely positive reactions from drivers, which told me right away, I was like, okay, this is the right choice.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's what it should have came down to. Everyone has to be on the same page. You're always going to have some drivers and telling their way and how they feel, but it comes down to the track and how they groom it and how they want to keep it together. And we all know that Cliff Flannery and Jason, they protect that thing like it's their baby. So you can't argue. We just had to go on to the next day to make things happen. And Mother Nature, I'm telling you, that old lady, she's really hard on us this year.
Undefeated, no doubt about it. Mother Nature is the Connor Schultz of natural forces.
That's hitting the nail right on the head. I mean, Schultz is unbelievable behind the wheel, and Mother Nature has done what she's done. And hey, we can't complain. The water trucks, they had to be out there the next day no matter what.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Connor Schultz. Going back to last year, he's now on an 8-race win streak in light buggy. And again, that's a class with 20-plus cars. I can think back to a few years ago, Christopher Pulvordi went undefeated in Pro Light, but that was racing against 7-8 other trucks for most of the year. Dale Chestnut did it in Classics a few years back. That was racing against 5-6 other trucks most of the year. Connor Schultz is going out there, lining up against 20 other cars. 8 wins in a row. That's historic territory.
Yeah, it's phenomenal in my eyes. I mean, we've been around this sport for a long, long time and just been around racing itself. And to do the things he's done behind the wheel is just awesome. And I always say, I can't wait to watch these young guns move up the ladder. But hey, if you're winning, Shane, why the heck would you want to go anywhere?
Well, right. And I'm curious to see how far this win streak goes. You know, the thought did creep into my mind. Are we giving him the announcer's curse right now in real time? But the way he's run, and this year, there's been challenges. You know, he led three total laps at Antigo. Still won both races. He won, you know, led the 2 final laps. That's what really matters. It feels like the announcer's curse can't even get to him.
Yeah, I think he's well above and beyond of what we're saying up in the booth, because no matter where he's at on that racetrack, he just moves his way to the front. And I don't care if you think he's got a big motor or the best shocks. The kid can drive, and he's proven it for a long, long time. And I don't want to be mean to all the other drivers, but you better have more than just a hat rack on top of your head to beat
you
these guys.
You got to find something.
Yeah,
man.
You have to dig deep. And, I mean, speed's everything, but he can drive and he gets through that field. And I think we're going to see this win streak continue.
Oh, that's a bold prediction. ERX, we know ERX brings out the best in everybody. But again, I mean, 8 in a row going back to last year. Hard to bet against the guy. Another young guy compared to his field. Having a pretty great year, though. Owen Van Eppern, how about this? He's finished in the top two all five rounds in pro stock side-by-side. And how about that finish between him and Jeb Boodle for the pro stock win at Crandon in round five? They tangled going up the face of the big jump on the final lap. Boodle landed all crossed up. I went back and watched the highlight package from that. And both of us were like losing our minds because we thought Boodle was going to go for a ride. Somehow saves it. Owen barely beats him to the line, but Owen's on a little bit of a hot streak now in pro stock.
Yeah, he's a great kid and a great race car driver. He's put in the work. His father, Ronnie Van Eppern, a well-put-together race car driver, a great team, a great business, and he's putting his kid in the shoes where he needs to fill. And he's taking it, and he's moving very, very quickly. I mean, to be in the top two in the first five rounds, you know you're looking at points championships. You know you have the shot at it. You just got to be consistent. And he knows how to wheel. He said, hey, I'm looking for that win. But I think he just keeps doing what he's doing. He's going to have a shot at the end of the year. And I just can't say enough about that whole race team. They're just good people. And you want to see people like that do very well.
Well, no surprise, the other pro race that I think we have to highlight from Crandon, Pro Spec, yet again, had a little bit of everything for everybody there. You saw the great battle towards the end of that race between Dylan Parsons and Nick Visser. We've seen those guys tangle, I think, just about every race this year. That rivalry seems to get hotter and hotter each and every race. You had Chris Vandenelson upside down. He lost one spot, worked his way back into the battle, ended up upside down again after Ron Cosiza caught the wall, and unfortunately then had to limp it around. But another wild pro spec race. And hey, by the way, the first timer out there, Porter and Glazy, his second weekend out in the truck, finished fourth.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, we went and had a chance to go talk with him. You were going over there to get your apparel that you love to go and get from all these drivers. And it's amazing how quick he adapted to that program. And we've seen him race in the past, and he's been very, very quick. I only expect bigger and better things out of him. And that pro spec class is very interesting to watch. I mean, Chris Vandenelson, he's one of our great buddies. I mean, that if he calms down, he's going to be dangerous. Dylan Parsons, I keep my eyes on him all the time. So Nick Visser, all these other guys that are coming into this class, we never know who's going to win because who's going to keep it on all four tires?
And Christopher Parrish, by the way, on a little bit of a hot streak.
Yeah, unbelievable. Christopher Parrish, very well put together guy coming from F4, moving into an off-road truck. I don't care who you are, Shane. You know from experience of other drivers that you can't just jump in different equipment and do good if you don't have your mindset right. And
not only that, but to be a rookie in that field and go out there and throw elbows with seasoned drivers like Ron Cosiza, Nick Visser, Chris Vandenelson, and Dylan Parsons to beat all those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you said that. He's just putting the elbows up and you're doing what you got to do to get up front. And he's got Ryan Beat Motorsports behind him. And that helps you tremendously. You have good equipment. You have good people. You have good teammates. And you have people that'll help you out throughout your career. And I think we're going to see bigger and better things out of Parrish as well.
Man, I sure hope so. I do know that he had a choice between going and racing F4 the same weekend as Crandon. He had a choice to make. He's in the points chase in F4 as well. I mean, he showed up at Crandon. That tells you a lot.
Yeah, I think he's fallen in love with this sport that we love, Shane, and I don't know how you can't.
How can you not? You know, something else that stood out to me at Crandon too, Brent, this is less specific to any class, but did they make all those jumps bigger?
Oh, they had to. The sky jump over there by the suites, that thing just launching these trucks. I mean, you go to the barn jump, I had a chance to watch a little bit of the practice, and they were just bonsaiing off there. And I can't imagine, when I got to run the Pro Light, you feel like you're jumping on the highway. These guys were another 5-6 feet in the air.
And they moved the turn two wall, they lengthened it and moved it in a little bit. That's what bit Ron Cosiza. So not only are you jumping higher and farther, but all of a sudden there's a wall there that's never been there before.
Oh. Wasn't that a nasty crash? Just to replay that back and watch Chris come into the backside of him.
Tough break for Ronald, too. He was for a good portion of that race, he was running up in second, keeping the pace with Christopher Parrish. So that was kind of a breakout performance, I think, for Cosiza, and I'm looking for big things out of him. His first ever podium in Superstock, I don't remember if it was last year or the year prior off the top of my head, but was at ERX Motor Park. I'm looking for big things out of him this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe he's going to really put the pedal down and move to that next level. And you have to, going through those split lanes, going through the Fox Shocks rhythm section, going up the big flyaway, you have to be on your game. I mean, the best of the best in the business will tell you, you can't just go there and think you're going to do all right. You have to put in the work and you have to study that track.
You know, I think one more takeaway that I had from Crandon anyways was, I think Mickey Thomas has Crandon locked down. One in Pro 2, he led the entire way until I think the final lap in the cup race, got passed by CJ, who has, you know, 150 horsepower and two extra wheels pulling on him. So pretty good day for Mickey Thomas. But you look over the last couple of years and Mickey Thomas is becoming very, very tough to beat at Crandon International Raceway.
Yeah, Mickey Thomas is very, very quick no matter where he goes. But at Crandon, it just seems like he gets out there, stretches those legs and just goes like a madman. And that Mystic Lube truck is just very, very fast. It's hard to tame him. And I mean, you've seen the speed Ryan Beat had. And I mean, the speed that these other Pro 2 drivers come in with, Mickey Thomas just kind of just rules the world when it comes to the Pro 2 division lately on these big tracks. And I think we're going to see him go to ERX and be right there. But I couldn't tell you who's going to win this weekend because that's how competitive our divisions are.
Yeah, Pro 2 still stacked, by the way. Corey Winter still in for ERX. Ronnie Anderson's going to be there. He finished on the podium there last year. I think Pro 2 is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. And that's what we've seen. Let's be honest, every single class at ERX, that's what it is. It's competitive. For me, the most exciting finish that we've gotten to call for Champ Off Road was mod carts there last year between Carter Vandenhoevel and Avery Hemmer. Something about ERX, man, it just brings out the best in everybody. And that's why I'm really excited about Pro 4 this weekend. I'm thinking back to last year. RJ Anderson, CJ Greaves, they tangled a little bit after the big flyaway jump. CJ ends up stuck on top of the K-rail. RJ goes on to win the race, and then they had some words on the podium, and that was Friday night, round 5 last year. So they had to go out and do it again the next day. CJ got the better of RJ. Again, ERX brings out the best in drivers. That's two of the best right there. I think there's going to be a war this weekend.
Oh, I love when you say that. It gives me goosebumps, Shane. Like we always say during the race that sometimes these trucks look like they've been through a war, and I think that's what we're going to see on this very competitive, technical, high-speed flyaway track. We're going to really see these drivers really dig deep. I mean, look at the numbers we have in the Pro 4 division. That's what the best part about it is for a couple years there, you and I both said, man, hey, Pro 4 is getting really weak. You have your same guys, Kyle LeDuc, Johnny Greaves, CJ Greaves, and then that's it.
Yeah, which monster truck is going to be the one that runs out front today?
Right, and now...
For a couple of years.
Yeah, and now we got Jimmy Henderson, Adrian Chenny, who's been a bat out of you-know-where, just going for it every time. I mean, that's what we like to see. I mean, Caden Baker, he's very, very quick. There's newcomers that are really trying to dig deep to show their support and their name in the class.
Yeah, and Kyle Chaney always seems to run really well at ERX too. So again,
and then RJ Anderson,
a couple years ago, the last couple years, Pro 4 has been. It seems like ERX levels the field a little bit. You know, there are the lead pack, and then you know the guys who are battling toward the back of the podium group. But it's something about ERX, it just levels the field. Again, I don't know what the magic formula is there, but you know, we've seen Kyle Chaney lead big portions of a Pro 4 race, and that was a couple of years ago. He's got a lot more seat time in the truck since then. So again, Pro 4, it's going to be a hoot. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited to come into the ERX weekend. It's been a full year since we've been there. We love the people there. We love the fans. I mean, we're right up in the middle of that track. We can see everything. We turn our seat around. We're not supposed to, you know that, right, Shade? But we always love to turn around, even if we're not on camera, to get to see every part. And the Carlsons, they've done a very well job of making that track and facility one of the best ever. And I'm excited to watch these Pro 4 drivers and the sportsmen, right? We're going to throw 25, 30 buggies on this track. something's bound to happen.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about Sportsman. Again, people are going to grow tired of me saying this, but I'm always keeping an eye on points championships. I love looking big picture at stuff like that. How about 570s? Six drivers within 17 points at the top of that one. You got Ella Holcher, Jack Betts, Cody Kranz, Matty Winnestorfer, Emerson Dreyer, Draxton Schimmick. 17 points separating first and sixth place. That's been a really competitive class.
Yeah, it's crazy how competitive these young guns are in the sport. And that's what keeps us going and gives us that drive. I mean, to see these drivers come through and be who they are at this level, I cannot imagine when we talk about them in Pro Light or Pro Spec someday, because look at the experience they get, right? That's why we have these points championships becoming so close, is because not only their crew is good, these drivers are adapting to their cars and they're understanding how to drive them, because you wouldn't be up front if you didn't.
Right. Well, I mean, you bring up seat time. I mean, Cody Kranz has been racing, what, this is his fifth year racing in Champ, so at least 5 years. Ella Holcher has raced multiple classes for years now. Jack Betts been around a long time. It's good to see him finally kick the bad luck that he's had the last couple of years. Draxton Schimmick, also been around a little bit, raced in short course kart before moving into 570s. And Matty Winnestorfer, another veteran, came out of the 170s. So, yeah, veteran drivers that seem to all have brought their A game into 2024.
Yeah, and that's what I love to see. I just love the competitiveness of all these drivers and the drive, right? You and I have been brainwashed with this sport our whole life. But
it's a good way to put it.
Right. And it's true. I mean, I'll tell anybody, I ain't afraid to say it. Like, this is what I live for my whole life. And I can't imagine what we're going to see later on in this sport. But for us to be around to get to see the young talent, I'm excited to watch this weekend. Just not only the pros, but give these young kids the credit that they deserve. I mean, this is our future. We talked about Pro 4 and these pro classes being littler the last, what, 4 or 5 years. Now they're starting to build. We need these families to stay in this sport.
Oh, for sure. Well, you know, we talked about 570s being loaded with veteran drivers. Let's talk a little bit about stock truck. Again, a mix of veterans and newcomers, but largely, you know, unproven drivers, a handful of drivers who, you know, some of them in this points chase still looking for their first ever podiums. A handful of them have gotten their first win this year. Four different drivers through the first five rounds. By the way, five different drivers have won in stock truck through five rounds. You know, you got Brian Piott, Tyler Mullins. They've separated themselves just a little bit, but third through eighth in the points chase in stock truck, separated by 5 points. Six drivers separated by 5 points. You got Tyler Hoffman, Nick Axelson, who won his first ever race back in Antigo, Kurt Graff, Hope Conrad, Caitlin Wurzba, and Seth Lutans, all in that cluster of drivers. And I'll go back to what I said before about stock truck. When we previewed every class before the season started, we kind of looked at the stock truck field and who we knew was going to be there and scratched our heads a little bit. We're like, well, how do you pick a contender out of this group when none of them have ever really been championship contenders before? Turns out it's just everybody in the class.
Yeah, and that's what's so awesome. You can't be like, oh, that guy or that gal ain't going to have a shot at it. You could have one bad weekend and it could take you out of everything. So you just have to have your gloves pulled up, your shoes tied tight, and you got to make sure that you're ready for each and every round. And I think it's only going to get better and better in these divisions because, yeah, granted, we have a lot of divisions, but you got to keep your eye on the ones that are really producing these points championships.
Yeah, and like I said, we've had five winners through five rounds.
Wow.
And then you have Scott Belanger in round five filling in for Brian Piott, who was sick and couldn't make it. And he goes out and wins, but, you know, he had been on top of the podium before in stock truck when he was there full time. I really do think that some of those other guys I mentioned, you know, Tyler Hoffman's been close a couple times. Caitlin Wurzba has been close a couple times. Seth Lutans, we've seen him run up front. I think we could go through two more rounds at ERX and not have a repeat winner and maybe see two more first-time winners.
Yeah, I totally agree. Anything can happen, and that's the thing. Piott, he's fast. All these guys are really, really quick, and, I mean, you can substitute drivers and still be in the mix. That's what you call teamwork. And, I mean, back in the day, it didn't seem like I seen that a lot where guys would jump in each other's trucks. But, hey, you do what you got to do to win. And Belanger, we didn't even know until he got on the podium. So right. Then to us, surprise. It's like we felt stupid. We're giving all the credit to Piott. Here, he's not even out there.
I'm sure he was watching at home with a big smile on his face anyways. You know, the stock truck field being what it is, you know, a lot of fans that sit out on the hillside and watch racing throughout the day, they'll play their games where they, you know, everybody in their group pitches in a dollar, you get a driver for that race. If your driver, you're, you know, whichever driver finishes the best, you take the pot, you know. Stock truck, man, if you're a gambling person, you want a fair shot at it, your dollar is as good as anybody else's in that class. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a great show to watch. And going back to the old days of when we got to run it, now it just seems like it's one of the premier classes. We don't have 25, 30 stock trucks. We have a good 10, 12 that at any given time.
That are all competitive.
Yeah, they can win. I mean, that's what I like to see. And it makes our job a lot easier to talk about these drivers when they're really giving it that much.
By the way, those eight drivers that I mentioned being all crammed in the top eight in points do not include the winners from round one and two. So that tells you exactly, you can come from anywhere in that field and win on any race. Don't miss stock truck. Don't sleep on it. Get there in the morning and watch.
Yeah, some of those drivers, they can bump up the super stock truck, and I bet you they wouldn't even miss a heartbeat. I mean, they really know how to wheel these machines.
Well, how about this for another driver who may not be a sportsman much longer? David Gay, Pro-Am side-by-side. We talked about the win streak by Connor Schultz, eight in a row going back to last year. Well, David Gay is on a heater himself, four in a row, rounds two, three, four, and five. He has a 51-point lead over the rest of the field in Pro-Am. You get 50 points for winning a race. So he has a full race on everybody else.
Wow. That's a nice, comfortable
through
lead.
Five rounds, yeah, by the way.
Right? I mean, through five rounds, that's huge to build that gap. I mean, he probably can sleep very well at night.
you race the full 12 rounds and you win by 51 points. People say, wow, he completely spanked everybody. But five rounds into the season, 51 points ahead. It's going to be tough to stop him. He's going to his home track this weekend, by the way.
That's hey, it's
scary for everybody else.
Yeah, he took the words right out of my mouth. Like, you imagine going in there trying to compete against these competitors that already have that points lead. Now you can not lay back a little bit, but you can get that little cushion, right? You can put yourself in a situation where if you don't need to go after that second place and you're comfy with third, knowing those two guys ahead of you are far back in the points, that's sometimes the way you need to do it. But guys like me and some other guys out there, if you're out there, hey, this could be the last day. You go after that W no matter what.
Yeah, good luck telling any off-road racer to back off a little
right,
bit.
Right.
Well, you know who never backs off or backs down is Amsoil. This podcast is presented by Amsoil. Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit Amsoil.com for all the products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. Amsoil, run with us. Well, our guest on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil, you know him from Amsoil Pro Side-by-Side and from Pro 4, it is Kanan Baker. Kanan, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Yes, and thanks for having me.
You know, you're a newcomer in Champ Off-Road. You've been racing for a really long time. I kind of cruised your Instagram a little bit, and basically as long as you've had an Instagram, you've been a racer. So tell me a little bit about your entire history in racing.
So I first started off racing at Mid-America Outdoors in 2019. And I exceeded fast to the pro class and went out to Texas. And then finally, I hit a couple of champ races. And I finally dedicated my whole race season for this 2024 year to champ. So we're really going to try to chase the championship points. I'm doing pretty good right now. And hopefully I can come up on top at the end of the season.
So I think I probably ask this question to just about everybody that comes on the podcast. But when did the hooks get in you that you realized that, you know, off-road short course racing was something that you wanted to do for a long time?
So I really started off not racing, but I was play riding out in sand dunes a lot. And I'd always be really fast behind my dad. And he finally decided that I needed to be in racing. And after that, like my first race, I was hooked up. Like I got second place in my first race and it was the most fun I've ever had. So I've always wanted to do it since.
And then along the way, like you mentioned, you won championships at Mid-America Outdoors. You won a Nitro Cross championship. Was racing in Champ Off-Road kind of the next step for you?
Yeah, I feel like Champ Off-Road is one of the biggest series there is for short course racing. So I feel like having a championship at Champ would be the biggest goal of my life right now.
Well, let's talk about some of the guys that you race against in Champ. Because, you know, I think that, like you said, we're loaded with talent. I mean, you line up for pro side by side, you're looking across the grid, you got Kyle Chaney, the Van Epperen, CJ Greaves, Andrew Carlson. Then you go out in Pro 4 a few races later, you got Johnny Greaves, Jimmy Henderson, CJ again, Andrew Carlson again. They've been winning races here in Champ and here in the Midwest. since before you started racing, and you're, you know, at least in Champ, you're a rookie. Is it intimidating to line up against guys like that?
No, honestly, not really. Those guys are super clean racers. Kyle Tanya, I've been pretty good friends with him for a while now. He's always been an open book for me. So any questions I have for Kyle, he'll always answer me. And he's helped me out a lot. And same with Andrew. He's been really cool. I met him. This is my first time racing him this year. And he's been really respectful of me. And same with everyone else. So it's really fun racing all these drivers out here and being able to beat them. Is a big thing.
What about Pro 4 though? I mean, you're lining up against Johnny Greaves, who has been winning Pro 4 races, I think, since before you were born.
Oh, I could imagine that. Yeah, it was crazy watching racing growing up and just seeing Johnny win all the time, and now being able to watch him win like right in front of me and trying to bang doors to him throughout all the races. It's pretty crazy.
So I want to talk a little bit more about this being your rookie year in Pro 4. How did that opportunity come about, and was Pro 4 just kind of the logical next step from Pro Side-by-Side, something that you had your eye on?
Well, in the 2023 year, I raced Pro Side-by-Side and Pro Light at Mid-America Outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pro Light was just so rough on my body. And I just thought to myself that I need to step up to either a Pro 2 or a Pro 4. And Scotty Lawrence came in and he offered a lot of help for us. So we decided to go with the Pro 4 program. And it's been going really well for us since.
I remember talking to you at Dirt City Motorplex before round one, and you said that the first time you really drove that truck was to Tech on Friday before the race. Has it felt like drinking from a fire hose? Like you're learning a ton every time you get behind the wheel?
Oh, yeah. It's a big learning curve every time, even for the mechanics. We don't really know much to do with the truck, so I just kind of tell them the minor things I can tell them, and I try to make the changes, and they've been doing really good. I've been trying to do the best I can on the track, but it's honestly way more related to the side-by-side than I thought it'd be with being with the four-wheel drive. The Pro Light was more of a learning curve for me because of two-wheel drive. But with the truck being four-wheel drive, I'm kind of used to it, kind of feel at home since I drive the side-by-side so much, but definitely a lot faster.
How has it been to adjust to a more physical style of racing? Because in side-by-sides, you know, open-wheel cars, you can do a little bumping and banging, but not like in Pro 4. Has it been tough to adjust to that?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty crazy because in side-by-sides, no one really bangs, like you said, but in the Pro 4, I'll just have someone on the outside bang me and someone on the inside hit me, and it's crazy because I usually try not to hit anyone, but the Pro 4 is crazy because like you can hit someone and the car still be just fine.
Right, and it's almost expected that if you're going to get past, the guy that's passing is going to move you.
Exactly, yeah. You can pass without hitting, but it's pretty hard.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about maybe a frustrating point of this year. So round two at Lena, Pro side-by-side, you found your way to the front. You're beating all those crazy talented guys that we were just talking about. And then the last second, mechanical failure, you coast across the line to finish second behind Kyle Chaney. Did that leave you frustrated, or did you feel more encouraged that you proved you can run up front against those guys?
I was definitely more encouraged. And I thought it was pretty cool that I rolled across the line still. I would have been way more frustrated without crossing the line, but crossing the line not under power in second is pretty cool to say, honestly.
You mentioned that you had raced at Crandon before. I think it was for the 50th anniversary race there in the side-by-side. But Crandon, obviously the rain out, we washed out qualifying day and first day of racing. So you had to go to the starting line at Crandon in Pro 4, no practice, no qualifying. What was that whole experience like?
That was pretty crazy. I had to go off iRacing. I mean, I had to get the track memorized from iRacing and just go from iRacing straight to the drill thing in the Pro 4. So yeah, it was pretty scary, but especially turn one, obviously, you couldn't see anything through turn one, so but it was really fun. I just tried to follow Kyle Tanny's lines the whole time. It worked out really well. I just kept up with him, and then had a mechanical failure again. But hopefully, you'll come back stronger this next round.
So you mentioned that you know Crandon from iRacing. How much do you train sim racing on top of all the other places that you're racing?
At Bark River, before we go there, I'll start going racing on the sim way more at Bark River to get it dialed in all the way. Like right before training, I was on the sim almost every day for pretty much all night, just trying to memorize the track and everything.
So looking ahead to ERX Motor Park, which is now less than 1 week away, it's coming up on us fast. Crandon, obviously unkind with all the weather, and kind of to you personally, like you said, a DNF in the Pro 4 and in Pro side-by-side, you finished outside the top 10. What's your mental state coming into ERX? What's your approach going into that track, another track that you've never raced on?
Yeah, so ERX is not on iRacing, so right. I have to go straight from videos to the track. So hopefully in practice we get some good data, and I'll be watching in-car cameras after practice and qualifying, and then go straight in the race after that, and hopefully come on a podium this weekend.
You know, fans will hear drivers talk about looking at video, but what do you actually look for when you're watching those videos?
So coming into a new track, I will always go to Champ's YouTube page and go watch videos. And what I'm watching is I'm trying to learn the track and learn lines and learn how to pass people, like what other people are doing to pass. So I'll know coming into a corner that I can pass someone on the outside here, the inside here, or whatever. And see the jumps are, see if I need to check up for all of them or just send it. Like ERX, I see that they have the double-double, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. I'm excited for that. I've always wanted like a little whoop section or rhythm section, I guess you'd call it. But I really look forward to that at ERX.
If you're a lunatic like CJ, you can triple that in the Pro 4, by the way.
I'll probably pass on that one.
So you mentioned a little while ago that it's been an adjustment. You now racing Pro 4, your team has to learn a brand new type of vehicle as well. How big is your team?
We have a 5-man team as of right now. We have one main truck mechanic, and then we have the rest of the four are mainly side-by-side mechanics. So that one truck mechanic, he's always 100% on the truck, and then the other one's always using the side-by-side, but when he needs help on the truck, we're all hands down on the truck. But definitely a learning experience for everyone, especially with me not knowing much about the truck yet.
How many of those guys are family? Because I know that, you know, your family is the backbone of the team. Obviously, your sister racing in pro side-by-side too, so.
One of the five is my dad. So we got my dad, and we got two Jason, Troy, and Mark.
That team has followed you for most of your racing career? Or did you have to expand the team a little bit coming into Champ?
So we first added Jason Summers, in 2020, I think it was. And then we expanded our team this, I think it was last year, 23, the new Jason, and then Mark also. And then Troy just helped with the truck.
So your small team, smallish for the amount of vehicles that you have. Mostly based around your family, your immediate family. You're not just racing Champ, though. You're still racing all kinds of other series. I know a couple weeks ago you were racing a different series. What does your whole summer schedule look like, and how do you juggle all that, especially trying to deal with real-life stuff on the side?
It is insanely packed here. We never race as much. It's going to be the most weekends. We've had a week. We had a month that was like three races back-to-back, and then we had a weekend off, and then back three races back-to-back. So there's just race, but... So on the downtime, we try to get the cars perfect. All the mechanics are all hands on Monday through Friday. They're always working the shop, trying to get the cars 100% and trying to make a podium car every time. And the truck, it's in pieces as of right now, but we're going to get together before this race and hopefully put that truck back on the podium.
So it's Sunday night as we record now. So we're 4 nights basically away from being at ERX. Aside from getting the Pro 4 back together, which anybody that's been around short course knows exactly what that looks like, it's a mad dash to the finish line. What does this week look like for you as far as travel and getting all the pieces together?
We have Monday to put everything together, and then we load up Monday night and then leave 5 o'clock Tuesday morning. And it's about a 16-hour drive, we're going to think. We're thinking it's going to be a 16-hour drive to ERX.
And all that to go out there and potentially tear things up.
Well, that's let's hope not.
Well, you know, looking again ahead to ERX, you talked about doing your best to prepare for the track and what challenges it brings you. What excites you about ERX? For me personally, I think there's something about ERX. There's a lot of things about ERX that I think bring out the absolute best in drivers. So what excites you about being able to go there for the first time?
Well, I've always liked split sections. I've always thought it's a great idea so you can pass a slower car. Or just try to get around a faster driver that makes a mistake somehow, and you can go on the outside or inside. But I love split sections, and ERX has one of those. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity to make a lot of passes. And the whoop section, or the rhythm section, I guess you could call it, I'm really excited for that because I know not everyone's going to hit a double, but I know I'm going to hit the double.
You know, comparing Champs tracks to, you know, for example, Mid-America, at least Antigo, Lena, probably two very different tracks from what you're used to. I think ERX actually has a lot in common with Mid-America. Very vertical. It's a mix of high speed plus technical plus elevation. I like to describe it that the drivers are always doing something. You're always either turning, jumping, or on the brakes, basically.
Right, yeah.
Well, Kanan, we appreciate you spending some time with us, especially knowing that it's such a busy week coming into ERX. Short week of prep. Any predictions for how it's going to go this weekend at ERX Motor Park?
So I predict that the common tire is going to lead me to the front of the pack, and I'm hopeful to stay on the podium and hopefully take the top spot for the first time.
Hey, we look forward to it.
Well, I do too.
All right, we look forward to seeing you out there mixing it up in Amsoil Pro side-by-side and in Pro 4. Best of luck to you this weekend, Kane, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thank you, Shane. I'll see you there.
Well, Brent, as of the day of the release of this podcast, ERX is tomorrow. Practice and qualifying going to happen today, Thursday. I'm super excited. A couple more things I want to talk about real quick. Do you think this is the weekend that Jimi Henderson and that brand-new, beautiful truck kind of have their breakout, their triumph moment?
I believe so, man. We've been waiting for it for a while, and
it's been fast.
Gnarly fast, showing that speed, just getting in the group, but just not having what it takes to be up front.
Yeah, little new truck blues.
Yeah, and I guarantee
a flat tire that was beyond his control.
Yeah, and I believe that Trad and the rest of the team have really went back and did their homework after Cran, and they know what they're up against. I believe he's really going to step in and swing away. He's a great guy, a great driver. I mean, Shane, we're dealing with paddle shifters now. I'm sitting right next to my iRacing rig, and I have paddle shifters. You ever thought that it would have came to this?
I know I've made this comment a couple times. I don't think I've made it on the air on a podcast anywhere, but I remember in the mid-90s when Jack Flannery was racing for Chevy Thunder, and he built a new truck, and it was, at the time, it looked like a spaceship. They tried a bunch of radical suspension stuff, you know, basically cooked up the wildest design that they could come up with. And it worked, and he went on and won a whole bunch of races with that truck. Jimi Henderson's truck, when I was looking at it at Antigo, I was thinking about Jack's truck, and I'm like, this truck, Jimi Henderson's truck, makes that truck from not even 30 years ago look like a covered wagon. Just ridiculous how far everything has come along.
Yeah, and the technology, the upper lower arms, all the technology that is different. I mean, the weight of the trucks, and you look at the new trucks, they look like little spaceships. I mean, yeah, granted, they look mean, they're strong, they're tough, but at the end of the day, man, you look at those chassis from the 90s to now, there is no comparison. And Kurt LeDuc said it the best, you know, you have to be light enough to race, but tough enough to go to war, right? And that's what they need to develop in these trucks, and they've done a wonderful job. I mean, look at CJ Greaves' new truck. Sits so low, that radiator's way in the back. These trucks have no rear cages to them anymore, it seems like.
Like you said, trying to get lighter, trying to get faster and more durable all at once. You know, there's like a funny kind of saying that, you know, if you're building a race car, you get fast, light, and cheap, choose two. And I tell you what, Pro 4, they've chosen fast and light.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing, and I've gotten to watch a bunch of these trucks being built throughout the years, and the safety that it requires and the wiring. I mean, you name it, Shane, it's not an overnight job. I mean, some of these guys and gals are working on these nonstop, and can you imagine what it took Trad to do on his own, getting all that information from Kyle multiple seasons for years, and for his eyes to look up and tell me when I was talking to him at Antigo that, yeah, I built this because what Kyle helped us build, like, and what we developed and designed, and this was my first Pro 4 I built on my own.
I can't think of a better way for Trad to honor Kyle's memory than to build another winning race truck, whoever's going to drive it. And they've built, you know, obviously a winning piece. They laid down the fastest lap of the weekend all 3 days at Antigo. They're bad fast at Crandon. Again, I think he's in line for a big weekend. Eventually, the new truck blues goes away. He's going to have a great weekend.
I know. He better have a great weekend. We've been supporting that son of a gun on the air and giving him all the credit in the world, because we just see what they have behind that team. And I think it's just a matter of time. And I think there's a great chance we're going to see Henderson steal one this weekend.
Well, another guy that's been working hard this offseason, we got to give a shout out to our friend of the show, Kyle Cooper, making his season debut in Pro 2. You know, bought an older chassis last year. Did minimal work on it to get it out part-time last year. Had a really nice day in the World Cup Pro 2 race Sunday of Labor Day weekend at Crandon. Was running up with guys like Doug Matag. Tore the whole truck down, did a whole bunch of work on it. He even sent me a picture that he had a leftover chunk of tube that was cut off of his super stock truck, the one that Brad Bargeland is driving, and he actually welded it into the back bumper of the Pro 2. He said, this has to give me good luck.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy that people try anything, right? You got to do what you got to do. I mean, I remember having a CJ Greaves truck in my garage for a while, and I needed a piece for my sprint car. When I crashed my sprint car, I cut one of the pieces off the back of the fuel cell mount. So
you got to be good mojo on that.
Yeah, you got a piece of CJ Greaves' truck on your sprint car. So you do what you got to do.
Yeah, hope it works out for Kyle. We obviously wish him the best. Like I said, he's a good friend of ours and pretty much a privateer Pro 2 team. Him and his dad, you know, he's got some partners that we'll talk about throughout racing this weekend, but hope he does well. We're behind you, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm excited. Kyle Cooper, he's a great guy. I remember watching him last year at ERX, and we talked to him up by the tech trailer, and he's like, man, Brent, this is crazy. You go into these jumps, and I'm kind of hesitant to go over them, but you got to realize the truck can take it. And I think you're going to see a new Kyle Cooper. He's a great race car driver. His father's a phenomenal engine builder and fabricator. These guys are ready to rock and roll, and I'm excited to see him out there. I want to see as many trucks as possible. When these sportsman drivers move up, I think he's one of the guys to watch. I know he's one of the guys to watch because he's not there just to play hockey. He's there to compete.
Yeah, plus we got to root for our guys that come out of Super Stock trucks.
Absolutely.
Love those guys.
Absolutely. I get Snapchats once in a while from him at the end of a late night. He's cracking a beer. I'm like, man, you deserve it.
Yeah, you've earned it. Maybe speaking about cracking a beer, what is your favorite part of ERX, the whole experience? What do you think is, what sets ERX apart from the rest of the tracks that we'll race at this year?
What sets it apart is just what they do with the facility, always keeping it up maintenance and making it look like professional facility. I know Bark River, Cranon, Anago, Lena, they all do a wonderful job, but it's just the atmosphere, right? That high elevation change, the big flyaway jumps. Yeah, we see that different places, but it's just a unique location. It's sandy. There's clay in it. They're always working on it, and they're there for the drivers, they're there for the fans, and I just love it. We have food trucks behind the hill now, and we've had those for a couple years. Granted, we get to smell it all weekend, but yeah. Just little things. Every year it seems like they do a little bit different of ideas, and I just love it. I love all of our tracks, but I couldn't just pick one thing. Just the racetrack itself is so racy. If you love off-road racing, you have to book a ticket. You have to go.
You got to get there. Being there, the track layout itself is, you can see where they borrowed ideas from other tracks, not just the big tracks. They didn't just borrow from Crandon with the high speed and Bark River with the elevation, but, you know, the split lane, the technical stuff kind of borrowed, you know, they incorporated bullring elements with wide open fast track elements. Best way I can describe it is it keeps drivers busy because you're never relaxing going down a straightaway. You're either climbing a hill or descending a hill. You're turning, you're jumping, you're always going somewhere, and it's changing. And I don't know what the Carlson family and Plaisted family, what kind of weird wizard math they did, but they found like the perfect formula. And again, it's something about that track, it brings out the best in everybody. It's always competitive there. There's no way to run away with a race at ERX. I love it.
Yeah, and I totally agree, Shane. And that's what drives me so much to go to ERX Motor Park this weekend, because not only at night, you have great company, people are having a great time, but you get to stare at where the snowcross track is, you see the main highway coming through. We always, hopefully, knock on wood, we don't see a big storm, but it seems like there's always interesting things going on at that raceway, and I'm just excited. The sportsman drivers love it. It's a long tow for a lot of our Midwest people, but hey, we're expecting a lot of people there, and we're expecting a lot of race car drivers. And like you said, the Pro 4 division is going to be over the top. Pro 2, the Anderson brothers are going to be in the house once again. And hey, I felt bad for them when they came to Cranon. You know, you only get one day of racing. But hey, we're here to race, and it is what it is.
I'll throw one last prediction at you. I think a name that maybe we left out of this whole discussion throughout a couple different classes that we've talked about, but you know, we're going back to a certain someone's home track. I got Andrew Carlson taking 3 wins this weekend. 2 in pro side-by-side, 1 of the pro 4s. What say you?
Wow. I can't disagree. He is very quick at his hometown track. You remember he got his first career pro light win at his hometown track years ago. And I mean,
he was tough to beat last year in pro side-by-side. I know that.
Unbelievable. But, you know, it's anybody's game. That track creates such great racing. I mean, my prediction for Carlson, I'm right there with you, but I can hands down say, how do you turn away CJ Greaves?
It's going to be fun. Like I said earlier, it's going to be a war. One prediction I make that I promise will come true. Actually, I'll give you 2 predictions. One, we're going to have one heck of a time. It's going to be a fantastic weekend of racing. This prediction is a little bit softer. weather looks to be good. No forecasted rain Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Again, it's Tuesday night when we record, so that could change three or four times between now and Thursday. But high temperatures, right about 90 degrees, sunny, typical mid-July weather for northern Minnesota. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, man, I cannot wait. It's going to be over the top. I can't wait to watch that flyaway jump, watching him go through the Fox Shocks rhythm section. But for Shane, I'm Brent. Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
I had to dry my socks out.
I had nothing for that. I had nothing for that. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was reaching over to turn my fan on.
That's cool.